living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So what is the story about fat? Or what I call the big fat story. Well, it's pretty simple. The story is straight. Fats are good for you. You know, saturated fats, unsaturated fats, monounsaturated, polyunsaturated fats are very important for you, and they're good for you. It's just that we overdo it in with some of them, and that's really the issue. It isn't so much the fat itself. It's really overdoing a certain type and causing some imbalances. Let me read you something before I bring on my guest here. And this comes from my guest website. It says, up until recently, saturated fat has been thought to be the enemy. The trend has been to replace saturated fats with carbs or omega-6 polyunsaturated fats such as sunflower, soy, or corn oil. This thinking is now being disputed. Understanding fats in the diet is critical to health, weight management, and energy levels. And I love that because I agree with everything that she wrote there. My guest is Dr. Ame Shuni. She's a graduate of Vanderbilt University and the Natural College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon. And she's an integrative practitioner where she blends conventional diagnosis with natural treatment. I like the way that sounds. Dr. Ame, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thanks, Dr. Mike. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so let's start right into this. Are saturated fats bad for us? And if they're not, where did all that get started from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the answer is they are not categorically bad for you. I mean, as you said in your introduction, what's bad is that we eat too many of them and we don't eat the best kinds of them either. Now, did you see the article in Time magazine, The Truth About Fat, that came out at the end of June?
No, I haven't seen that one, no.
It's really worth looking at. It had a big picture of butter on the cover, and it said, eat butter, which is great, right? And it's something that we've all been waiting for. But, you know, back in the 70s, you know, a Senate committee led by George McGovern came out with a study called Dietary Goals for the United States, and they urged Americans to basically take meat off our plates and replace it with calories from fruits and vegetables and especially carbohydrates. And this was largely in response to a big panic about how many people, seemingly healthy people, were dying of heart disease. And, you know, by 1980, the USDA had jumped on board, creating their first dietary guidelines. And what they were really trying to do was avoid cholesterol and fat of all sorts, because the idea was is that this is what was leading to heart attacks. And what we really did is we embarked upon this huge experiment to vilify fat, which we did rather well, and to get everybody to eat less of it. But, you know, what kind of got missed in the process was that you don't just take something away and it doesn't get replaced by something else, right? So, you know, it got replaced by was, well, first of all, processed foods and also lots of carbohydrates, fat-free foods that were high in carbs and sugar. And what this has done in the last 40 years as we look back is it has made us fatter. It has made obesity and diabetes epidemic to our country. And it's created a huge health crisis, in my opinion.
Yeah. So that's important. Let's make sure the listeners understand that. So in the mid-80s or so, early 80s, mid-80s, we started to eat less fat. We introduced more sugar. I mean, if I can just break it down and keep it simple. Less fat, less cholesterol, more of the simple carbs, some of the starchier carbs. And the whole point was to reduce the risk of heart disease and heart attacks. But yet here we are in 2014, and heart disease is still our number one killer. So obviously we didn't do something right.
We didn't do something right, and correct, and perhaps we did something wrong. The prevalence of type 2 diabetes increased 166% from 1980 to 2012, according to this Time magazine article. Nearly 1 in 10 American adults has the disease, costing the healthcare system $245 billion a year, and an estimated 86 million people are pre-diabetic. In the meantime, deaths from heart disease have actually fallen. Right? We've got better emergency care, we smoke less, we have lots of statin drugs, right? But cardiovascular disease, as you mentioned, remains the country's number one killer. So this idea that if we cut fat and lower cholesterol, we're going to prevent heart attack deaths, not so much.
So let's talk then about if we're going to eat more saturated fats. I'm not sure if pure butter, like the article maybe showed, is the best way to go about it. Are there better sources, or I should say more healthier sources of saturated fats than others? Like, what are your favorite sources or that you like to promote with your patients?
Sure. I mean, the cover was definitely meant to be sexy, right? But, you know, I would say, and I was taught in school, that a little bit of butter is okay. You know, obviously, okay. If you're going to have, you know, in my opinion, if you're going to have dairy, if you're going to have meat, I think the quality of that meat, how it's raised, what it's fed, if it's pastured or not, grass-fed or not, I think these things are extremely important because it impacts the inflammatory profile of the products, which has a big, big effect on our overall health. I think fish is just an outstanding, outstanding saturated fat. Also, just because of the omega-3s in it, which are so vastly helpful. I like coconut oil as a saturated fat. You know, so I mean, I do think that the quality of the food, the quantity of the food, is really important in this regard.
Yeah. So let's go back to, you mentioned something about the, and it caught my attention because I'm from Texas, Dr. Ami, and I do like my red meat. I enjoy my barbecue on occasion.
Right.
So you said something about grass-fed. Let's make sure the listeners understand then the difference between grass-fed and grain-fed, and why do you promote the grass-fed?
I promote grass-fed grass-fed beef and pastured animals in general because when we look at the fatty acid profile of those animals and therefore products made from those animals, what we see is a higher ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 essential fats in there, making them a less inflammatory product to be consuming. And the reason that's important is because what we understand is that chronic inflammation, which can be greatly contributed to by our diet, is at the root cause of all chronic disease, including heart disease, diabetes, cancer, etc. So we really want to be eating with an eye towards lowering chronic inflammation. And so for those of us who eat meat, grass-fed's a better choice. It also has a much higher nutritional content as well, and I would argue is not as damaging to the planet as well, the way in which they're farmed.
So you mentioned too, and I saw this in that paragraph that I read, and I think I got that from maybe a website of yours. I don't remember exactly where, but you mentioned that. So we replace the saturated fats with the carbs, and also the omega-6, though. So we're eating more omega-6 polyunsaturated fats. Can you tell us a little bit there? What's the difference between omega-6 and omega-3, and what is in a healthy ratio between those two omega fats?
Sure. So, and let me also, you know, I kind of stumbled over my words a little earlier and kind of intimated that fish was a saturated fat. I mean, the omega-3s and the omega-6s that you're talking about, and the omega-3s, which are so high in fish, these are actually polyunsaturated fats. So I somewhat misspoke there. I apologize. Polyunsaturated fats are extremely important, particularly the omega-3s. Omega-3s and omega-6s are both essential, which means we don't make them. We have to get them from our food. They're both essential for nervous system development, for brain health, for all aspects of function. But what's important is that they occur in a good balance. Now, some folks would say that a 2-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 would be good. Other folks say actually it should be a 1-to-2 ratio, omega-6 to omega-3 higher. In that case, that would be even better. The standard American diet has a ratio of, depending on who you read and who you are, 25 or 40-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3. So our ratio is way out of balance, and the problem with that is that omega-6s get converted downstream to more inflammatory chemicals in the body, which, of course, we need in small amounts, right? And the omega-3s go downstream to more anti-inflammatory. We want them in a good balance so that our inflammation doesn't get out of hand. With the omega-6s so high,
inflammation is going to be up, yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, let's hold off there. We're going to talk more about omega-3s and how important they are in the next segment. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.